I was asked, this was way back when I first asked to do this, but to give a little bit about my past, what is happening now in the Archdiocese, what I would like to see for the future. That was months ago when I was asked to consider those three things. In the last few weeks, there's been a lot that has transpired, which transforms how I might want to see the future. Just my past. The one thing you need to know about my past, just a couple of things. One is, I was a priest of the Archdiocese of Louisville. I've lost a lot of my accent, so if I'm difficult to understand now, just imagine what I used to sound like. When I went to Ottawa, Canada, to study Canada Wall, they thought I was the biggest country thing they'd ever heard. The first time it snowed, they wanted me to see the snow. And I said, we're not in the Gulf of Mexico, I've seen snow. But I was a priest of the Archdiocese local for 24 years. If I make it to retirement, and that's a big if, I will be a bishop in Indiana for 25 years. So I would actually be a bishop in Indiana 1 year longer than I was a priest in Kentucky. Again, if I make that. But the biggest thing you know about my past is when I was sent to Evansville in 2011 to be bishop. Louisville took out the Sherman-Minton Bridge on 64 for 10 months. And that was her way of saying, do not send him back. And then Evansville waited until 37, got bogged down to become 39. That's when they sent me to you. So that you couldn't send me back. So that's about all you need to know about my past. I'm from a very big Catholic family. My mom, you've heard probably the story, many of you. My mom was one of 16, my dad's one of 13. I have 90 first cousins. I don't even know how many second cousins. I quit counting well over 200. Second cousins. Marion County, Kentucky, where my family's from, is the most Catholic county in the state of Kentucky. If you don't know where that's at, if you've ever heard of Maker's Mark Bourbon, just look on the side, it says Made in Loretta. My mom was born and raised less than 5 minutes from that distillery, my dad 12 minutes, and we lived about 12 minutes, 10 minutes from it until we moved back to Louisville when I was 12. So somebody tried to save me when I got back to Louisville, and that's the first time my mom had explained to me there was something other than Catholics, and probably relatives at that moment. So big, big Catholic family. So as far as celebrating Catholic Radio tonight, my family's about as Catholic as you get. As far as what's happening now in the Archdiocese, if you don't know what's going on in the Archdiocese, you haven't been around very much. There's been a lot going on, whether it's with Catholic education or it's with the sex abuse crisis going on in our church. Those are probably usurping a lot of my time these days. And then what I want to see for the future, what I would like to see for the future, getting out of this crisis would be a good place to get. But I say that, and I just to share with you kind of like where we're at and where we're going. And I can say this because I've only been here 14 months. It feels like, as I told a couple people, it feels like 14 years to the people around me, but I've only been here 14 months. So I can share some things tonight without, hopefully, because I inherited it. By the way, last weekend I was with Cardinal Tobin, the weekend before this past one, and then a couple weeks before that I had a couple of dinners with him in Washington, D.C. We're on the administrative committee together, and a couple of other committees. And he misses you greatly. He always talks about how's my Indianapolis doing. So he sends his greetings. And by the way, I know you miss him. Nobody was more upset about him being moved from here than me. And that's before I knew it was going to affect my life. So, great guy. But I compliment the staff of Catholic Radio. All the work you do and the message you get out, as you said, getting beyond parishes, getting beyond dioceses. Here we go. There's this wonderful contingent here tonight from the Diocese of Lafayette. I always talk about being from the other side or one of those, but I think the world of Bishop Doherty. We're very good friends. So I like teasing him, but you can tell him that I didn't speak very highly of him tonight. That'll be okay. And he'll get even with me, I'm sure. But I thank you for the hard work, for the great love of the faith that you have. And the fact that you're here tonight supporting Catholic Radio speaks volumes about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the culture to Christ, the culture of life, the culture. Pope Francis talks about the culture very many ways, about the culture of dialogue, the culture of encounter, the culture of accompaniment, the culture of discernment. They may sound like just quips, but we live in a culture, that society today, that doesn't really appreciate those notions. Cardinal George, late Cardinal George of Chicago, get a line that many bishops repeat often around me. That is, we live in a culture today that tolerates everything and forgives nothing. Think about those words. A culture that tolerates everything and forgives nothing. In other words, in my life everything goes. For you, I forgive you nothing. And that's the kind of world we live in today. I expect you to hang out your dirty laundry, but don't ever ask me about my life. And that's the challenges we have today. And I think that the effect of Catholic Radio and the need for Catholic Radio is such that I know a lot of people like to think we live in a Christian country. I think we tolerate Christianity at best these days. Tolerate even any faith tradition these days. If it doesn't conform to our worldly societal principles, then we tend to want to isolate that, reject it. And then, but faith, the church, faith, religion, is the conscience of our society. Without that conscience, where does society end up? And our society pushes back on that conscience. I do it myself. You know, remember those little cartoons we used to see about the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder, and which one wins? You know, I do that for myself, let alone knowing society does that. So Catholic Radio is a way of keeping before us the principles of our faith, the principles of what we believe provides for a just, healthy, life-giving society of faith. We're living in a very critical time in our church history. The current crisis on clergy sex abuse continues to have a great impact on us. I want to speak about that just briefly. I don't want to ruin your night here. But, you know, the things that have, by the way, I've got a stack of envelopes, stack of letters, and people write to me and tell me what we ought to be doing. And what I'm finding is, what people tell me what we ought to be doing, we're doing. I'm finding out people don't know what we're doing. We've had some great hits here lately with the then Cardinal McCarrick scandal in the four dioceses in the Northeast, Newark, Atchison, and then D.C. And they're moving toward that investigation and all that, and we need to do that. The grand jury report that came out of Pennsylvania about the six of the seven dioceses there. And that's very painful. Very painful, and the scope of that, I think the scope and the volume of that has hit us hard. But I think it's important to remember the bulk of that, all but two cases, there's only two cases that are still even within statute of limitations. So a lot of this went back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But it feels like it happened last week. Again, one case is too many, whether it happened 100 years ago or yesterday, one case is too many. I'm not in any way disputing that. But I think it's kind of bringing back a lot of the reliving of 2002. And then more recently, and then after that, some of the charges or some of the report that came out from Archbishop Bigelow, a former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, that's way beyond my pay grade. I can't say a whole lot about that because that's just beyond anything I'm aware of. And I knew nothing about, I never heard the first name about Cardinal McCarrick until all that came out. So I just share that to say these are devastating times for us. But what's come up, a lot of that goes back to decades. What we're dealing with right now, I think, and I have to own this, I've been a bishop now a little over 7 years. I think what's the crisis now for us is not our priests. Our priests are wonderful priests. You know, since 2002, in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and why not in Lafayette, there hasn't been a new claim. You know, in 2002, when this first happened, they adopted this charter. The bishops adopted the charter for protection of for children and young people. That has been very effective. We have practically every diocese in the country has a lay review board that helps us oversee these issues, these concerns, and advises the bishop on how to act. Every diocese has a victim assistance coordinator. So even in this archdiocese, in the diocese of Evansville, and I'm sure in the diocese of Lafayette, when someone wants to make a claim of sexual abuse, it comes to this coordinator. The coordinator informs our human resource director and reports it to the civil authorities. That all happens before the bishop ever hears about it. I just want you to hear that. And when people wonder about bishops covering up, things are already reported before it even gets to the bishop, as it should be. And I think that's wonderful. I think I don't mean to sound defensive, except for our priests. Our priests are doing good things. We have wonderful priests. This issue, I think this crisis here is about bishops, about us being transparent and accountable and making sure we're doing what we need to do for the sake of everyone entrusted to our care. That's what we're supposed to be about as shepherds. How we care for everyone, especially the most vulnerable in our midst. And so I just want to thank our wonderful priests, and I want to apologize to our wonderful priests for what they may be feeling right now because of us as bishops. They've done great. I think the wonderful role and I realize there's a great deal of hurt and disillusionment and anger and woundedness among us in various ways. And our secular media, my experience with the secular media, both in Evansville and here in Indianapolis, has been one that I think has been very respectful. We had some of you may know about, a few weeks ago we had our holy hour of prayer, penance, and healing at the cathedral. And we had two television stations, and Indy Star were there. They couldn't have been more respectful in interviewing me in that time. I was very impressed with their integrity and their respectfulness. And it's their job to report things, including the church. And so the second media has had its role in reporting on the church and what it wants to cover there. But I think the value of Catholic radio is making sure we get out the full story and a story that the people who work in Catholic radio understand. I think our secular media sometimes there are certain people that don't always understand exactly the intricacies of how our Catholic Church works or what we've done, say, since 2002. And I think that's where a great value of Catholic radio comes into play here. How to get out that message clearly, and certainly to recognize, as any other media, what we've done wrong, where we need to be, improving, but also to get out the message of the good things that we've done. You know, one of the priests was sharing with me, a woman was out with her women friends one evening, and they were complaining after all this news broke. And they were complaining about, you know, the church not having the proper things in place. We ought to have a lay board, and it ought to be advising the bishop. It ought to be overseeing this stuff. And after several minutes, a woman in the group finally said, "Do you know there is a review board, and I'm on it?" They didn't know. They didn't know about this charter and the fact that we've had this victim assistance coordinator and that we've had this review board in place. And so I think that's where Cali Radio comes in so handy, to make sure we get that message out. But yes, we have our sinfulness, we have our woundedness, we have our brokenness, we have things we have to deal with, but we also have done some things well in the last several, especially in the last several years. And it's working. And I can say that it's only been here 14 years, so I didn't do it. I shouldn't sound offensive to you, because I wasn't here. I inherited, thank God. There are days, many of you may know, I was a good friend of Archbishop Daniel Beekline. He was my rector in the seminary. And when he was Archbishop here, he asked me to come up and work on some canonical issues, some canon law issues. And so I made a lot of trips up here and worked on a number of different cases that I'm now dealing with. But thank God, I think we dealt with those the right way, so that was good. But there are days, and I was a good friend of Archbishop Kelly in Louisville. When he retired, moved in with me, so I was good friends with these two wonderful archbishops. And there have been days in the last couple of months where I thought, I wish they were here that I could consult, that I could talk to, that I could get their wisdom. But then I also think, when I get past that selfishness, I think to myself, they lived through this in 2002. Thank God they're not here to have lived through it a second time. So it's my turn. I have a new assistant, and she asked me one day, she said, did you have any idea that this stuff was going to, you were going to go through all this kind of stuff when you were asked to be a bishop? I said, do you think I'd be here if I knew that? No way, God is green earth, I'd be here if I knew that. We accept where God puts us in for a reason. One of the greatest lines I think that I've heard in the last, Cardinal Tobin, I was at the Encuentro. I don't know if you know the Encuentro, you know what this is? The Encuentro, just 2 weekends ago in Grapevine, Texas. Over 3,000 people were there, 125 bishops. It's been a 2 or 3 year process leading up to this event about what the Latino Catholics bring to our culture, to our society, to our church. And it was very enriching and very inspiring, and it was a great time. Several wonderful, wonderful presentations, but one of those was probably one of the finest in my book, I'm a little prejudiced, was Cardinal Tobin. He got a standing ovation, by the way, so I wasn't the only one that felt that way. But he had a great line. He addressed what's going on in church right now. He said, you know, I love this line. He said, not every crisis is a disaster. Not every crisis is a disaster. And he went on to say, you know, the Holy Spirit can use moments like a crisis to lead us to new doors and new windows. And the new door for us can be a deeper, greater sense of purification, of embracing what Pope Francis is reminding us of, it's the call to holiness. Now we're going to take our hits and we're going to deal with challenges there, but we are called to holiness. We are called to purification, and we are called to trust that God's Spirit leads us in that process. And so I think those are great words for us to hang on to, and I think Cali Radio can get out that continued message that despite our woundedness and our brokenness, our church does great things. I'm on the administrative committee for the USCCB, for the United States Catholic Conference of Catholic Bishops. And I remember we met there, we were discussing our upcoming meeting in November. And you know, the discussion was, what do we do there? It can't be business as usual. And we're not supposed to call that what was said there, so this is a secret here. I want to share with you there. But I remember one bishop just saying, you know, we have to remember, we have to address this, we have to do our prayer and our penance, we have to acknowledge this and take it very, very seriously, make sure everyone knows that. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we don't create other victims as a result of this, meaning there are a lot of good things we do, and we can't let that stop. The poor, one of the things that the U.S. bishops have been working on, we had hoped to vote on it this past, our last meeting, but we didn't get to, so it's supposed to come up in this November, is a pastor on racism. You know, that's been, that in 2017, last two years, this came out as a very big issue. We have to be a voice for that. We have to continue to be a voice for the refugees. We have to continue to be a voice for the unborn. We have to continue to be a voice for those who are vulnerable in our midst. And while we have to address the issues where we failed, we can't stop taking care of the things that we do so well in the outreach that we do as a church, both locally, nationally, and as well as nationally, and even universally that we do. And you're a part of that. You make that happen, not only here tonight through Catholic Radio, but what you do in your parish. Sorry I didn't get around to every table. They made me sit down because people were talking. I was distracting, so I had to sit down. But as I was walking around, I like to ask you, where are you from? What diocese? What parish are you from? You make a difference in so many, many ways in our culture, in our society, beyond what you can ever appreciate or understand or imagine. What you're doing here tonight is incredible. It resonates beyond what we can ever measure. But what you do in your parishes, what you do in your daily jobs, just giving witness to the Catholic faith in your daily place of work or your school or your community, your neighborhoods, it all makes a difference. We can't always measure it, and we like to measure things. I'm an accounting major. I like boxes. I like putting things where they ought to be. I've got an accounting degree, a law degree, and a theology degree. I am a messed up guy. Well, because the county and the law wants to be able to measure things. But the theology, it reminds me, it's about God. And one of the things I like to begin to watch, boys, I went to time. Finally, leave me with this. I love doing confirmation, I love working with the confirmation candidate, but I always remind them, it's important what you do, it's important what I do. We each have our roles. But the most important thing is what God is doing.